Are there more gods than one? There is but one only, the living and true God.
In Shorter Catechism, question 5, we have some very basic doctrines that all of us need to have nailed into our hearts and into our brains. I've summarized the truths that are found in this particular question on the board behind me. It asks us, are there more gods than one? There is but one only, the living and the true God. Several things can be said here. First of all, children, I'm going to teach you a very simple Greek word. You'll know the Greek alphabet is different than English alphabet. But if we were to write this in English, it would look like this. Theos, right? This is the theos. Theos, and that's the word for God in the Greek language, which is what the New Testament is written in. And so we get several English words from this. We get the word theism or theist. Theism or a theist is a person who believes in God, right? Theism, you believe in theos, in God. And there are different words that come that are derived from this word. So three things that we see in this catechism question. The first is that there is a God. There is a God. And this would be in contrast to atheism. A means not or no. So atheism teaches that there is no God, that there's no God anywhere of any kind. That's what an atheist is. And so in question 5, the first thing that we have established, the first doctrine that's being taught, is the existence of God. Yes, indeed, there is a God. There is a God. He does exist. And you'll think of some of the Psalms, like Psalm 14, where it says, "The fool says in his heart that there is no God." What is that? What is that Psalm teaching us? It's saying that the people who say that there is no God, they're being foolish. It's describing their mind. It's describing their character. It's saying they are being fools. It's not smart. It's not intellectual. It's not cool to say that there is no God. It is foolish. It's foolishness that people hold to. Now, what does the atheist say? The atheist says, well, I can't see God. I can't see him, and therefore he doesn't exist. And what that means is this. For some atheists, they believe the only thing that's real is what you can see and what you can hear, what you can smell, what you can touch, what you can taste. That's all that's real, is those sorts of things. So you can touch your friend and you can taste your fried chicken and you can, you know, hear beautiful music and so on. These things exist, but they say, well, with God, there is, you know, we can't do those things. But that is foolishness, the Bible says. To draw that conclusion is foolishness. And think with me for a second. There's all sorts of things that we know are real that we can't touch, taste, smell, hear, and so on. For example, other people's minds. Can't see other people's minds or hear them or taste them or anything else, and yet we know they exist. What I'm thinking is not exactly the same thing as what you're thinking, and yet you can think about the same thing I am at the same time. You think about the fact that history didn't start 5 minutes ago. Well, guess what? It is possible that history started 5 minutes ago and that all of our memory was given to us when we were created, right? Well, no one believes that. It's foolishness. It's foolishness. But we don't prove that that's not true through things that we touch and taste and see. What about things like numbers? Now, when we think about numbers, like I can write the number 1 or the number 2 or the number, you know, 564 on the board. But I'm writing a number on the board. When I when I write the number, that's not the number, is it? It's just a symbol for the number. Numbers aren't something that you can touch, taste, or feel. Has your mama ever baked a number 3 in the oven? Have you ever seen a number 8 walking down the street? No. You know, when Pastor comes over here and erases this, well, now the numbers 1, 2, and 564 no longer exist? No, of course they still exist, don't they? Well, you don't touch them or taste them or smell them or you know, hear them and so on and so forth. We can say the same thing about propositions, you know, ideas that we put into a sentence. You can say the same thing about logic, the laws of logic. These are not things that you chew on or see with your eyes, and many, many other things. And so my point is, it really is foolish when people deny the existence of God. It's not smart. It's very foolish. We know that there is a God, and we think about God, and we speak to God in prayer. We thank God. We repent before God, and we receive what God says to us in His Word, as we saw in the last catechism question. The second thing we see is that God is exclusive. So it says, there is one only. So not only is there God, there's only one God. And this brings us to polytheism. So what did I say atheism meant? No theism, no God. Poly means many. So polytheism means many gods. There are people who believe that there are many gods. So when I went to India, right, there are Hindu people there. And they believe that there are 330 million gods. Right? This is what they believe. It's very, very sad. But we see in the Bible itself, places like Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, what we call sometimes called the Shema, there is one God. That's being emphasized. There's only one God. Now, if you think back for a second to our last catechism question, if we understand that God is infinite, then there can only be one God. You can't have two infinites together, right? If God is unbounded, unlimited, can't be contained, He is infinite in time, infinite in space, and so on, to have two of those would mean that both of them, either of them, can't take up the same area, conceptual area, as the other, right? There would be part of time and space, one would exist, part in time and space, the other would exist. But we see that there's only one. There can only be one infinite, eternal, unchangeable, self-existent God. There's only room for one, and He fills all of heaven and all of earth. So the idea that there are many gods is foolishness. You'll remember that the prophet Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal over this. He said, where's your God? Remember, he built those altars and he said, cry out to your God. What did they do? They screamed and yelled and cut themselves and flailed on the ground. Nothing happened. Then Elijah cried out to God and boom, fire came from heaven, licked up all the water, consumed the altar and the beast that was on it and everything else with it. You'll remember when Paul went to Athens, he was heartbroken and he told the people of Athens, I'm very sad because you're so superstitious. This place is full of idols. There's only one God. And here they are worshiping these many gods. So we're to worship and serve God only. If there's only one God, why are there so many religions? Why do we have Buddhism and Hinduism and Islam and Taoism and animism and all sorts of other religions? If there's only one God, why are there so many religions? Well, it comes back to what we covered in previous material. Everyone knows in general revelation, what we covered in a previous question, that there is a God. And so people have this sense, there is a God. That's why people are religious left to themselves. But without the Bible And without the Holy Spirit accompanying that Bible to convert their hearts and to subdue them to the Lord Jesus Christ, what do? They make up stuff themselves. And so they know that there's a God who created them and who's going to judge them and who governs everything. And so they start, out of their own sinful creativity, thinking, well, how are we going to placate, please this God? And they begin making stuff up on their own. It shows the many religions shows that, one, people know there is a God, and two, that they are depraved, that they're sinful, and that apart from God's grace, they're going to be led to idolatry. So the first thing we see is that God exists, there is a God. Secondly, that He is exclusive, there's only one and no others. And then thirdly, that He excels. He is the living and the true God. The living and the true God. In other words, He is not dead, and He is not false. That's why I put false gods over here. He is not dead, and He is not false. He is the living and the true God. So one thinks, for example, of Jeremiah chapter 10, where Jeremiah says in verse 10, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, an everlasting King. At His wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide His indignation." In Psalm 115, we sing in that psalm about false gods. And what do we say? We basically say, unlike the true God, our God, they are not living. They are not true. Remember it says, they have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. They have mouths, but they speak not. And those who make them are like unto them. These are dead gods. They're not real, real gods. There's an illustration. There was an 8-year-old little boy who had been from a Hindu background and had become a Christian. And the other children were making fun of him. They were ridiculing him for being a Christian. And they kept saying to him, "Show us your God. Show us your God. If your God is real, show Him to us." And the little boy had to reply, "I can't do that, but I can show you your gods, because their gods were made of stone. Their gods had painted faces. Their gods came out of the ground." But he said, "My God is the living and true God. Not like a dead piece of wood, not like a dead stone, not with a pretend painted face on it. There is the God who is to be worshipped, who is to be adored, the living and the true God is the God who made us and who has spoken to us in His Word through the Holy Scriptures." And this means we should have pity in our hearts. We think about foolish people who deny God's existence, or those who are deceived into thinking that there are many gods, or those who serve dead and false gods. These are idolaters. And we should have pity for idolaters. This is why we're concerned about missions. This is why we're concerned about foreign missions. We want to take the gospel, what God has given to us in His Word, we want to take it to every country, every tribe, every people, so that those who worship false gods can be taught the truth, which will set them free, to help them to come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the living and true God. And we should be grateful for the gospel light that has been given to us. You know, if we go back in time, our people, our great, 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 great grandfathers or whoever, were also idolaters before the gospel came to them. And we should be grateful for the blessings that the Lord has given to us. And it should cause us to desire to worship Him in spirit and in truth. If He's the living and true God, and He is, then we should worship Him in spirit and in truth. So in question 5, are there more gods than one? There is but one only, the living and true God.